Hey, it's good to be with everybody today. Good to have all you guys that are streaming in and with us at home and excited about that. I want to bring some thoughts to you. As a matter of fact, I was invited by Pastor Gabriel to step into a series on the presence of the Lord. And so the thing that I want to be dealing with today is the two or three that gather in His name. So we're going to talk about that this morning a little bit. And I want to come to you from a couple of ways. As a matter of fact, I do have a rope. I thought about using it like a whip. We could use it that way. And maybe we could string around somebody's hands and tie them up. I don't know. But we're going to use the rope today just for a reminder that we're always going to be better with others than we're going to be by ourselves. And I don't know how else to say that. And right now I realize we're in politically tough times and health wise, and I've got my mask and I'm not trying to go either way on whether there's politics and the COVID or whatever. There are people that have compromised health. You got people that are old like myself, and we do want to take care of ourselves through this. But one of the things that we cannot allow to happen, and I really feel like Perry came in and shared a little bit this morning with Pastor Gabriel and I, and she shared about worship and what it was and talked about how many facets of worship get taken care of in our life, whether it's fighting a battle or binding the enemy or bringing healing or the presence of God. And she began to make it like one of the knives, the tools you have that you can just pull out all kinds of different blades, the MacGyver type issue. And then Bobby gets up and talks again about praise and how much we need that. And I just want to tell you that the worship and praise is something we can do by ourselves. There's no question about that, but it's better with someone than by ourselves. And I want to deal with that today, because some of us have a mentality that, I can just worship by myself. And some of you at home, I love you. Listen to what I'm saying to you, though. But you're not going to get the presence of God at home by yourself, even though you're listening to us right now. I get that. And you're going to have the presence of God. The Bible says He's omnipresent. The Word of God says that God is in nature. He's in every part of the cosmos, the universe, and no one's hidden from His sight. Jesus said, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the earth." So we have the promise of omnipresence, but the truth is God's omnipresent. He's in the bars right now. I mean, come on, y'all. He's been in every bad place that there is, because He's God and He cannot not be. Now, that's the omnipresence of God. And I thank God for being omnipresent. I thank God that when I'm not thinking about Him, He's thinking about me. I mean, I don't know what to say, but if it doesn't matter whether I'm at home or my truck or I'm out on our property or I'm at the gym or wherever it is, I can believe the presence of God is there. And that's true. But listen to me. It's not the same presence of God there by myself, y'all, that I have when I'm here with you. Because the Bible makes it very clear that there's an omnipresence, but there's a manifested presence of God. The manifested presence of God comes when two or three get together. Then He says, "I'm going to be there in your midst." And I'm going to bring some scripture to you this morning. As a matter of fact, I'm going to just basically be taking verses and breaking them down for us. I'm going to be like a naked man running through a briar patch, getting a point here and a point there. We're just going to, work through this a little bit today. But I want you to understand that the Lord is in our midst. Say, "In our midst." That means He's not just up front with me. He's in our midst. He's right in the middle of us. It means what we're going to do after church today, after this gathering here, and we're going to go meet and talk about small groups. Can I say something to y'all? You want to see the glory of God, then get together with two or three or four people in a home. Have a house party when you're having streaming in, and maybe you don't feel like you can come to the church service itself. You can invite someone to come and be with you. There is a multiplication or a synergy, a spiritual synergy, in having two or three people together. Say, "More is better." Okay, I'm just trying to help you out. Doesn't the Bible say that? We're going to deal with that in a little bit. But let's go right now. Let's run to a few verses, if you would. We're going to start in Hebrews chapter 10. And we're just going to push through some verses. And you guys can let the verses just hang up here with me until I call for the next one. It won't be that you're slow. It'll be that I'll call for it. And that way people can kind of let this soak in as we move forward. But I want us to look at Hebrews 10. Matter of fact, we're going to be using a lot of the Amplified Bible today. But I want us to deal with Paul speaking to the children of Israel. And here's what he says. He says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have full freedom and confidence confidence to enter into the Holy of Holies by the power and the virtue in the blood of Jesus. We have, say, I have access. We've got access into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus. And then it says, by this fresh, new, and living way which He initiated and dedicated and opened for us through separating the curtain, the veil of the Holy of Holies, that is through His flesh. So stop right here and say something. Jesus gives us access to the presence of God. It's Jesus' blood that gives me access. It's not my good looks. It's not my money. It's not. It is absolutely His blood. Now, that gives me access, but then I want to move into His presence, and that's why the body of Jesus was broken for us, was striped for us, was cut open for us. It was access for us. We looked at it like a crucifixion, and God saw that as an opportunity to give us access into His presence, because y'all, we had no way to get in until Jesus. We had no way to access the presence of God until Jesus. And then it moves on and says it this way in verse number 21. And since we have such a great and wonderful and noble priest who rules over the house of God. I'm going to stop here and say something about this. We have a great high priest. Say high priest. Okay, in Hebrews 7:25, we're not going there, but just hang on this thought. We have a high priest. Hebrews 7:25 says that He always makes intercession for us. The Bible also says the Holy Spirit is on earth with us, making intercession for us. Now, I'm going to say something to you. That doesn't mean you don't pray because He's praying. But it means for you to put on your thinking cap and understand that Jesus is interceding for you. Boy, if we weren't in a separated situation, I'd say, touch someone and tell them Jesus is praying for you. But since we can't do that, let me just say this to you. Jesus is praying for you. I wish I had someone that would pray for me. You got someone praying for you 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You've got someone praying for you. You have Jesus in heaven. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't want to hurt your feelings with this, but there are a lot of people in prayer, and I'm just going to help you right now in prayer. There are a lot of people in prayer when they pray, and they pray to Jesus, and it's not that you can't pray to Him, and they pray to the Holy Spirit. It's not that you can't pray to Him because they're both a part of the Godhead, and they are God, but Jesus says you pray to the Father. I'm going to help you right now. There is a verse in John 14, maybe 14:25 is the last verse of John 14. And it says there, it says in like the NIV and other translations, it will say, and you will ask me and I will give you what you ask if you ask in my name. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but if you ask me in my name, doesn't make sense to me. Okay, back up and say it another way. If you read your Bible, you will see in most translations that have me there, pray that you ask me, that it has me with a little letter out beside it. And it says, go look at the footnote. And it says in most manuscripts, me is not there. So if you read it in the King James and some other translations, a Message and different ones, you won't find me there. It says, when you ask in my name. So here's all I'm telling you. I'm going to help you in your prayer life. If you've got a request to make, make it to the Father. Try that. Well, I just call out on Jesus. I mean, I'm not saying you can't. You should. But if you have a request to make, He said, ask the Father in my name. Ask the Father in my name. And sometimes we bypass that. The reason you have access is to get to the Father, y'all. Y'all still tracking me? Okay, you're just looking awful quiet. But all I want you to know, I'm just trying to help you a little bit. And I'm trying to give you a little bit of a correction here in a loving way. Is I'm not saying that you've been wrong and all your prayers haven't been answered because you just said, Jesus, do this or Jesus, do that. But Jesus said, ask the Father in my name and He'll do it. And when you ask Him in my name, I intercede with you to Him. Does that help y'all a little bit? He accessed you in. He set you up to ask the Father. And then He says, I'm going to advocate with you. I'm going to help you as you deal with the Father, as you bring your petition to Him, as you bring your request. I'm going with you on this one. Does that make sense to y'all? I don't know about the rest of y'all, but it helps me to know that when I ask the Father, Jesus gets with me right there. And He begins to help me in that prayer. So I just wanted to pass that to you. So it goes on and says this. And since we have this, or the next verse, let us all come forward and draw near with true and honest, sincere hearts in unqualified assurance. I love that, unqualified assurance. In case your assurance doesn't feel right, it's unqualified. And absolute conviction engendered by faith, that by leaning on the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, in His wisdom, and His goodness, having our hearts sprinkled from and purified from a guilty evil conscience and our bodies cleansed with pure water. So let us seize and hold fast. That means don't throw away, but retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess in acknowledgement of it. For He who promised is reliable. He who promised is reliable. Amen. Sure, faithful to His word. And let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. Stop right there. Look at this. Let us give continuous care to watching over one another. Come on, y'all. My life isn't just about me. I got to be thinking about you. You've got to be thinking about me. We need to find some time to get together. We need something that we can get together with. Listen, if you have to wear a mask and stay arm's length apart, you need to find a place to get together that you're able to look over someone, to watch over them. Watch this. Studying how we may do what? Stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. And here's your key. Here's your key. Not forsaking. Not forsaking nor neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some. Stop. Think just a minute. Here's your command. Here's what's coming to us. Don't forsake or neglect the assembling of ourselves together. As the what? As the habit. This virus is horrible. We've been in a worldwide pandemic since March. So we've got March, April, May, June, July. We're moving into another month now. Let me just pitch something to you right now. And this is not to make you feel bad. It's just to get our attention right now. Do you realize that you can build a habit in 21 days? You can build a habit in 21 days. If you pray every day for 21 days, you can make it a habit. If you read your Bible every day for 21 days, it can become a habit. If you smoke a cigarette for 21 days, it can become a habit. If you curse for 21 days every day, it can become a habit. If you do it for 90 days, it can become a lifestyle. Now, I want to just let you think a minute. Let this soak in. If we've been mandated not to come together, March, April, May, June, July, March, April, May, June, July, that's 5 months. That's 5 months. Listen to me. If we don't pay attention, y'all, we can be at home by ourselves, or we can just refuse to come to the house of God. Or now that we're even looking at, can we make it another way? Can we have the small groups? Can we make these be a place where we can have the presence of God among us? We need that anointing that we don't get on our own. Can we have that? Can we put this together? The reason we're doing it is not just to have another thing to do at church. It's to make sure that we're having the presence of God among us. And that's only going to happen when we get together. And the Bible says there is a habit among people of not assembling. I'll back up and say it this way. No offense. There are a lot of reasons why people don't assemble. But let me just tell you something. We can allow something that has a reality to it to keep us from doing something that also has a reality to it, that this becomes a habit and a lifestyle instead of this. In other words, if church opened up right now and everybody said everybody can come, and you have in your mind our church will be filled next week because it's going to open up, I'm going to help you right now. It won't be filled next week because it's open up, because some people have a habit of not coming, and it's easier just to stay at home in your pajamas on Sunday morning. It's easier to make a long weekend at the beach and let it pass through Sunday than it is to not be there, and it can become a habit to us. And we just found out, well, we can pray at home, and we can, we do that every day, y'all, but that's still not the presence of God coming in a manifested way. Watch this. Then we don't want to be as a habit of some people, but admonishing, and here's the key right here, admonishing, which means to warn, to urge, and to encourage one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. The day approaching is the coming of the Lord. In other words, if I really believe the Lord is coming, then I need to make sure that I don't have a habit of not coming together. And when I do come together, I need to be there to warn and admonish and encourage and urge people. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but we have, I'm going to call her out. Her name is Sophia. And so she's a coach. And I'm just getting introduced to this gym. And so when I first went to the gym, I don't know, I've been in a couple months now, maybe, whatever it is, I can't remember. When I first went, there was an individual that's a nutritionist. Her name is Melissa McDonald. And so she sat down and told me how, you know, how out of shape I was, how bad I was, and what all I needed, and you got to do this, and here's what you need to eat. And she went through that whole litany of things I had to do. And I said, oh, great. And she said, but be of good courage. I was once like you myself. And, you know, she's totally in shape. So she tried to encourage me. But then we got this coach named Sophia. Now, Sophia, she picks on me if she's trying to be nice to me. But when I come in and I'm doing exercises, I have never had more critique on my life. I think maybe the Holy Ghost is the only other one that's critiqued more than I do than anybody I know offhand. But anything I do, she's correcting it. And she's saying, you need to put your feet a little bit further apart, or you don't need to put them that far apart, or you need to let your knees go outside, not inside, or you need to keep your elbows up and don't let them go down. I mean, just anything I do, it's like it's wrong. And then I go in on a Saturday, which is not her day to coach me. So I go in on a Saturday to do a few little things that I want to do, and I put them on a little board, a little dry erase board, and I put it down on the floor, and I'm getting ready to do my stuff. And who shows up? Sophia. And she says, Mike, what are you doing? And I thought, none of your business. But I do what I do. I picked up the board and I said, I'm going to do these. What do you think? She said, well, if you're going to do this, when you got to do it. And she began to give me instructions again. Now, I'm making light of this, but I appreciate the fact that she is the one that will give me the correction to make sure that I don't hurt myself and I do what I'm supposed to do correctly. But she's also there to urge me. And I can be in that gym. I'm going to cry. How stupid to cry over a gym. But I can be in the gym doing an exercise and hear her across a room over everybody else doing their work and saying, Mike, that's the way to go. Keep going. And here's all I'm telling you. That's what we're supposed to be doing as a church. And what is happening to a lot of us right now is we've been pulled apart for all kinds of reasons. And here's what I don't want you to do, and I don't think God wants us to do, and that is get in a habit of not getting together. Don't let it be a habit that I can go to Sam's, and I can go to Walmart, and I can go to Home Depot, and I can go to Lowe's, and I can go to get my nails done, and I can go get my toenails done. I don't, but I could do that. And I can go to whatever it is I do, and I go do, and I want to go do that, and we go do it, and I get that, and I understand it, and we call it essential. And I'm going to back you up today. Is the presence of God essential in our life? Is there a possibility that I can keep my distance, and I can wear my mask, and still have the presence of God? I say we can. But somebody's got to get up in front. Pastor Gabriel's been doing it, and it's my opportunity now to, A, give us a warning. I'm old. I've heard this since I was a child. I'll be 70 in October, and I remember getting under our desk at school and putting our coats over our heads, or running to a cloakroom and getting down on the floor and covering up because the Russians are going to bomb us. Now, they preached to us when I was a kid, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that Jesus is coming. And you can't be caught doing something stupid if Jesus is coming. So we lived in fear of anything we did getting us in trouble because Jesus is coming. And I think where we are today is we're saying, well, you know, maybe so, maybe not. It could be a long time. And we're just kind of in a lackadaisical mentality. And I think we need to come back to what Paul said, because this is the eternal word of God. He says, as you see the day approaching, and now I'm going to just say this to you, if it was close then, it's closer now. If it's close then, it's closer now. It doesn't make me live in fear, but it makes me understand that my life is valuable and Jesus is coming, and I don't have time to waste it on trivia. And if I can have trivia, I can't have more trivia than I have God. Amen, y'all. I'm just saying. Let's move on. I know you're full of that. Did you get it? You understand? Warning, urging, and encouraging. So I'm just warning us. You guys at home, I'm not beating you up because you're not here. But I'm just saying this to you. You've got to find a place where you can have people around you that you can pray with. That, and I know maybe you can or maybe you can't lay hands on them. I mean, put on gloves. I don't care. But there's got to be a place again where we can come together and God be in our midst. Okay? Let's move on. Let's find another place to go. I know you've been wanting to. Let's go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. Let me just start by saying this. We're going to use this as part of the theme, the catch verse for the series that we're in right now. But let me just say this to you. You need to remember when you read the Bible that you have a context to read it in. You have a context. In other words, there's a reason why that verse was in the Bible. Okay? So let me say this about these two verses. They're in the context of relationships. If you read the whole chapter of 18 of Matthew, it's about getting your relationships right. Heads up, y'all. We need our relationships right. We need our relationships right. This is what the whole idea is, and we're going to read this, but I just wanted you to know that I understand the context, because there'll always be someone that'll say, well, this isn't about prayer. You're just pulling it out of context. No, we've got it right in the center of what we know it is, and that is relationships, and you can't have a relationship if you ain't with somebody. Emphasis on ain't. Let's look at verses 19 and 20. And again, I'll just stop right there. And again, I tell you, let me just say this about again. This is not the first, I'm going to use it again. It became a habit just one time. And again, I tell you means this isn't the first time that this theology has been presented, this idea of two or three gathered together and something happening about the presence of God if two or three got together, and something about their prayer life that changes when they can pray in agreement. This isn't the first time it's happened. It's an again for us. And a matter of fact, the two or three principle begins in the book of Genesis and goes all the way to Revelation. The two or three is always there. God has always looked and saw you by yourself and said it's not good. He created Adam, and he didn't say, I'm wonderfully blessed and I've got it just like I like it. He put Adam here and said, it's not good that man's alone. He's got to have a somebody with him. And then those two had to have a somebody with them. And that was God. And he visited them every day. So we had Adam and Eve, and we had God, and they came together every day. There's a principle throughout the Word of God. The principle of law is based on the voice of two or three people. The principle of judgment, if you're making a judgment on people's what they did right or wrong, it's out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. If you're going to say a prophecy is a true prophecy, it's out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. If you give a prophetic word among the house of God, the Bible says it must be judged, and it's out of two or three witnesses. All I'm saying is this, the two or three witnesses has always been a part of the kingdom of God. So it's not just something we're trying to put up right now. It's not just something that Bobby and Michelle said, we're going to start small groups because it sounds cool. No, it's been a part of the kingdom from the beginning. We're just trying to make this thing function, and especially in the world we're in today and knowing that Jesus is coming. Amen. It's making a golden opportunity. So we have this. It says this, and again, I tell you that if any two agree, and the word agree there is interesting. I wish Michael Allen were here again this week. He could do this better than I can. It's sumpaneo is the Greek word in there, and it is to agree. To sumpaneo means to harmonize together. Say together. Yeah. Look at me. You musicians in here, you can't harmonize by yourself. You just singing. You got to have a somebody to harmonize with. Say, I need somebody. You do. And if you sing like I do, you need a lot of somebodies. And again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree or harmonize together, make a symphony together. Listen to me. That doesn't mean we're all just alike. It doesn't mean we all think just like. It doesn't mean we all look just like. It means that we all have a different note, but it comes together in harmony. Does that make sense to you? We've all got different instruments. We've all got different parts. But the harmony, the symphony of it, and this is what it's talking about. And let me just give you this as a side note so you can jot this down somewhere. You don't have a symphony if it's not you and somebody and God. Your symphony is not just you. And it's not just you and somebody, it's you and somebody. And he said, if y'all get together, I'll be there, and now we can harmonize. This is why you can ask what you will and it shall be done. It's because it's not your will that's being done. Oh, come on, y'all. If you want to pray with me about something, I can pray for $1 million in a heartbeat. I can pray for a new truck now. Well, you could pray for something just me and you. But if you and I come together and we want to harmonize, then we pull in God. God, what do you say about this? God, what do you think about this? God, what is your will about this? And now I look at it and I pray with you based on Him. In other words, that becomes my harmony. Now I'm asking according to the will of God. Does that make sense to y'all? So the two or three make sense. We come together about whatever or anything and everything. Say everything. Everything. Yeah, about anything and everything. I need that. That they may ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Okay, but how's that going to happen? Anytime you and I agree? No. Anytime you and I agree with God who is in the symphony now, then we get what we ask for. Amen? For whoever or for wherever two or three are gathered, drawn together as my followers into my name. You're not just coming together. We're not just coming because we have a small group. We're not just coming because we're having church here today. We're coming in His name for His glory. This worship this morning, as was mentioned, was not about us. It was all about Him. It was in His name. It was for His glory that we worshiped and praised. Amen, y'all. I will get blessed if I will lift Him up. I don't have to worry about me getting a blessing if I'm willing to give Him the glory. Amen? So here's what it says. You come in my name. There I am. I love this in the Amplified Bible. There I am. It's capitalized. The I am is capitalized. There I am in the midst of them. I love two parts of that. Number one, I am is with us today. Who is I am? We saw Him in Exodus 3:14 when Moses said, and who shall I say is sending me to talk to the Pharaoh? And He said, you tell them I am. You tell them I am is sending you. Who's with you? I am. Now, I am sounds like an answer like I am with you. But I am is in our midst. Listen to me. He's in our midst. He's not in our front. And that's what church does to us. I want what they have on that platform. I want what that praise team has. I want what that pastor has. I want what's up there. Let me tell you right now, if we really come into the presence of God, it ain't about who's up here in the front. It's about who's in the midst of us. And that means that the presence and the power of God can be as rich right there as He is up here. What I sense and feel in me right now, the same anointing is right there in our midst. Amen, y'all. It's not for somebody up here. It's not for someone that studied to do something. It's about if I can come together with you today, if we can worship together and worship Him in His name for His glory, He said the I am, the creator of the universe, will come in our midst. Yeah, but He comes in my house when I pray. I get that. I know He does. But He doesn't come in your house when you pray like He comes in this room when we're together. You can't say that. I didn't say it. Somebody else said it. There's a different anointing with two or three than there is with one. Amen, y'all? That's Bible. That's Bible. That's not CDC, that's Bible. That's not the White House, that's Bible. Amen, y'all. I'm not belittling wearing the mask. I'm not putting that down. I'm not in the political lineup here of trying to pick what's right and wrong and is it a conspiracy theory. I'm not going there. Here's what I'm going. I see enough of end times in this that I get excited about Jesus coming. I see enough about end times and what I've studied in my lifetime about the coming of the Lord and what the earth is going to look like and what the world is going to be going through. I'm excited right now. I'm not pro COVID-19. I'm against it in the sense of that I don't want it to be here. Too many people have died. Too many people have been compromised by it. I'm against it. I lost a good friend of mine that I went to college with, to Bible school with. He died of COVID-19. I'm just saying I get that. But I can't let this not turn my heart toward the Lord and say, as I see the Lord coming, because of what's on this world right now, I don't need to forsake the assembling of myself together. I need to find somebody to pray with, y'all. I need to find somebody willing to pray with me. I don't know how it's going to look, but we got to find it. Can I go a little bit further? Okay, thanks. Two or three, and he and I agree, I'm good right there. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12, and we'll be done. Well, kind of done, sort of done. Two are better than one. What? What did I just say? Oh, I can't hear y'all. What did I say? How many are better than one? Now listen. God said that, although we know it was Solomon. And we know Solomon had the promises of God, had wisdom from God, but he also got jacked up. And he disobeyed God. And when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you read about his wanderings mentally and spiritually. And he talks about what is of God and what is just foolishness and frivolous. And this is what I did and this is what I threw away. And it sounds like ramblings, but God is building a case even in his ramblings. Listen to this. Two are better than one because they have a good, more satisfying reward for their labor. If they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Y'all, excuse me just a minute. Have any of y'all ever had a hard day, a bad day? Has anyone ever had a failure? I mean, a spiritual failure, or maybe a failure at work or failure at home, and you just feel like you can't make it and you're down. Let me help you right now. If you stay down and stay by yourself, you won't be able to get yourself up. But if you could just find you a somebody that you could confide in, that they would be a confidant to you and a prayer warrior with you, not a gossip, they can pull you up out of that according to Scripture. If I had a small group, if I just had two or three that I could come together with and say, would y'all pray with me because I'm struggling, they could pull me up out of that depression. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to he who is alone when he falls, he has not another to lift him up. And again, here we go again. I mean, you got it from Paul and you got it from Jesus, and now you're getting it again from Solomon. Again, if two lie down together, then they have warmth. But how can one be warm alone? And though a man might prevail against him who is alone. I'm liking this one right here. And though a man might prevail against him who is alone. Solomon got alone and he got run over, y'all. Solomon got alone and he got taken to the cleaners. Solomon got alone and got his clock cleaned. Solomon got alone and got defeated. Amen? But listen to what came through with him. For though a man might prevail against him who is alone, two will withstand him. And then he says a threefold cord. A threefold cord. Is not quickly broken. A threefold cord. I can braid almost one-handed. Threefold. Threefold. So you got a threefold cord. and it's not easily broken. There's a subject matter called synergy. Say synergy. Yeah. Now, this is deeper than me. So I've got it out of a text to read to you. And that is the idea of synergy. Synergy is a physiological science law. So let me just kind of read this to you. It won't be long. And then I want to close on the idea of how this synergy looks in Bible. So the praise team can come if you guys want to. There is a law called synergy or synergism. Now listen to this. This law states that when the joint action of agents are brought together, they increase each other's effectiveness. Synergy is defined. Okay, you understand what I just said? It's the joint action of agents that are brought together increase each other's effectiveness. I'm going to back up and say it another way. If I can lift 100 pounds, if I can deadlift 100 pounds, and if Perry, because she can outlift me, so if Perry can deadlift 100 pounds, and we're going to think, well, the two of y'all together can lift 200 pounds. Physiologically, that's not the truth. See, in our minds, we think, well, you got 100 and 100, and that's 200. No, no. That's what we can do by ourselves. And if we add what we can do by ourselves together, it's less than what we could do if we had the weight here and the two of us got on it together. We can lift up more than our 100 each. I don't know how it works. It's synergy. It is when I can combine with somebody, when I can take my 100 over here and her 100 over there and just add them together, I get 100. But if I put a 250-pound weight between us, the two of us together can pick it up. We become stronger together than we can apart and just adding it up. I hope this makes sense to y'all, because synergy is a biblical principle. Listen to the rest of it. The definition of synergy is a cooperative interaction among groups. The increased effectiveness that result when two or more people work together. That sounds like your Bible. The interaction of two or more agents or forces so that their combined effect is greater than the sum of their individual effects. If I could just get with somebody, we would not just double what we're doing. They would go into another level of multiplication if I could just get with somebody. The power of synergy. Jesus is touched by combined faith. Think about the power of cooperative faith. And this is what we just read. And again, I say to you that if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind and in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. The power of agreement is combined faith. It is an exponential anointing from God's presence. Say exponential. Yeah, that means you ain't adding. It means that we've gone to another level. And God is in this room right now. And if you're away from Him right now, you could be born again. Right now, if you're struggling, the strength of God is in this room to lift you up. Right now, if your heart is broken, He's here right now to mend a broken heart. Right now, He's at home. He's with you. I get that. And I'm not trying to take it away. But here's what I'm going to tell you at home. I believe God can move anywhere in any way He wants to. But I'm going to say this to you. The manifested presence of God. The manifested presence of God is what we've got to desire. And that means I want to be in the proximity of other believers because of manifested anointing. Doesn't mean that God's not at home with you. Doesn't mean He's not in this room. But it means if we in this room can agree, there's a manifested anointing that is biblical that happens among us because of His presence. He said, I will be in their midst. Who cares, Pastor Mike? Well, I think David cared, because in Psalms 16:11, he said, in the presence of God, joy, the fullness of joy dwells. In the presence, say presence. If two or three are gathered together, I am in your midst. So that means the joy of the Lord is in this room right now. Well, what about the joy of the Lord, Pastor Mike? Nehemiah said it's our strength. Said it's our strength. I may have some bad happenings, but happenings make me happy or sad, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. I can have the joy of the Lord, the tears running down my face. I can have the joy of the Lord in the center of loss. I can have the joy of the Lord. Amen. So I'm going to close on these two verses. Well, I'm going to close on really on Malachi, but I want to just give you these as a quote. Joshua 23:10, talking about people that are together. Listen to what the Bible says. If one of you shall chase 1,000, one of you chases 1,000. That's what the Bible says, right? One of you chase 1,000, for the Lord is your God who fights for you, and he promised you that. Say, God promises me victory. Yeah, and one can put 1,000 to flight. That's what the Bible says. But let's do one more verse. Let's look at Deuteronomy, if you don't mind. In Deuteronomy 32, it says this. How could one put 1,000 to flight? Now watch this. And two, put 2,000. Okay, that was trick, right? If one can put 1,000 to flight, trustful math says two can put 2,000 to flight. But God's synergy doesn't work that way. He said, if one of you can put 1,000 to flight and I'm on your side standing against your enemy, then two can put 10,000 to flight. There's an exponential anointing when two people can get in agreement. Amen, y'all. There's something about this that we've got to get. Nail it down. I'm really closing now. I'm really done. Stand to your feet. I was kidding. Sit back down. No. I'm teasing for real. Say, God is here. Say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are I am. And you're in our midst because we came in your name. Your presence, help me y'all, say your presence is in our midst. So there's fullness of joy for me and my family, for my church family. Amen. Let me read this and I want to do some kind of close. How could, Malachi, did I go there? No. Y'all got it at Malachi 3:16. It's like John 3:16, only it's the last book of the Old Testament. Watch this. This is just blows me away. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to whom? Okay, help me. One another. Who'd they speak to? One another. The only thing that I don't like about talking with a mask on, when I have a mask on like this, is because I can't see their mouth if I can't understand them. So it makes it difficult. But you can still get it, even with a mask on, that we could come together, and I could talk to you if I have to wear a mask. I could talk to you if I had to wear a mask and a pair of rubber gloves. I'm suspect of you anyway if I got to wear gloves around you, but still. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with whom? They spoke with one another. The Lord, what did the Lord do when they talked to one another? Help me right here. He paid attention. He paid attention when they, not when the preacher preached, not when I sang a song, although there's nothing wrong with the singing the song, but when I got with somebody and I began to talk to them, the Lord paid attention. Why? Because he comes in our midst. The Lord paid attention and heard them. Watch this. This is just crazy. And a book of remembrance. Say he'll never forget. I love this. And a book of remembrance was written before him, God, of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They came together in his name. According to this verse, they came together in his name. They esteemed his name. And they began to talk. And what they talked about caught his attention. Because he was in their midst. And he looked over to somebody and said, write this down. We'll never forget this. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I need you. I need you. I need somebody that I can talk to. I got a text a couple weeks ago. It was over some other issues, and it was Paul Perry texted me. I didn't get back to you, Paul, sorry. Or he called and left a message is what it was. And I read the message. And it was just, hey, how you doing? I know you got some issues you're dealing with or whatever. And he said, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. If you need me, give me a call. And I was lazy and didn't call him back, and then I forgot. But I remembered this morning, maybe it's God rebuking me for it, Paul. But anyway, the point is I had somebody that was paying attention to someone else to encourage them. So here's all I'm telling you. We need to come together for His presence. We need one another. We need to be talking to one another. We do not need to be isolated. And listen to me. Don't let isolation become a habit. There are churches that tried to start back, that could not start back because they didn't have enough people to start back with. All I'm saying, y'all, is it became a habit to be away from the presence of God through others, and now it's become their lifestyle. I say no to that in the name of Jesus. I say that I am not going to catch that habit. I'm going to make my habit to come to the house of God. If I've got to come in plastic and with a mask on and a shield on, I'm going to come and get around somebody that loves Jesus. If I have to go back in here today and learn how to do a small group that I might open my home up, I don't know what it's got to look like, but we've got to find a place where we can get together again because we need His presence like that. Amen, y'all. I want to pray for you right now, and here's what I want to ask you about. I want to ask you about your habit, and if you're listening to me right now and you're watching today, I want to ask you about your habit, because if my habit is not in His presence, if my habit is not to be around other people, then I need a change of habits. I need to break this now. I need to create a new culture. I want a lifestyle change. Amen, y'all. Maybe it's prayer, maybe it's Bible reading, maybe it's getting together, I don't know. But I want you to raise one hand or both hands, doesn't matter how many you can raise. But I want to lift it to the Lord. If you lift one hand, it's a swearing. When you lift one hand to the Lord, it's this is what I'm talking about, God. This is what I mean right now. This is like going to court, lay your hand on the Bible and raise your right hand. When you lift a hand, there's a reason, a purpose in that. It's saying, Lord, I'm here. Lord, I'm here. I'm here. You lift both hands as, Lord, I'm at your mercy. I'm at your mercy. I can't do anything about what's going on. I'm just at your mercy. So maybe you need both hands up. Maybe you just need one. Say, Lord, right now, I'm breaking some old habits in my life in the name of Jesus. I'm breaking the habit of fear. I'm breaking the habit of isolation. I'm breaking the habit of non-conforming, of staying away. I'm making up my mind today that I will not let my life be robbed of the presence of God. I thank you that you're with me when I'm by myself. I thank you that you will come, that you will show up. But I thank you, Lord, there's a guaranteed manifested presence when two or three get together and exalt your name. And Lord, I need that in my life. So help me today to create the habit of your presence in my life by joining together with two or three, or those in the house of God. Or maybe both of my hands up saying, Lord, have mercy on me. I've got some jacked up stuff in my life. I've got issues I've got to change. I need healing, hope, and forgiveness. And I lift my hands for your mercy today in Jesus' name. I make a declaration over you that God is in our midst. I make a declaration over you today that God is in our midst and healing is in this room. There's someone in here today that said, boy, I just need a healing of my mind. I've been so crippled in my thoughts and I just needed deliverance from fear and worry and dread. And I tell you right now, that burden has been lifted off of you in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you right now, there's someone in this room, not only myself, but others that have struggled with trying to heal over messed up stuff. Maybe we did it to ourselves, or maybe it's another physical ailment, but I declare to divine healing in this room in the name of Jesus, because it is by His stripes we are made whole. And when a leper would get in agreement with Jesus, his leprosy would leave. When Peter would get in agreement with Jesus, he could walk on water. When demon-possessed would get in agreement with Jesus, when they could just get the two or three together, demons had to go. I thank you, Lord, for the synergy of two or three gathered together in your name. Amen.